విద్యమాన్ అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాన్ వందే గురు పరంపరాం. శ్రీస్మృతిపురాణానాం ఆలయం కరుణాలయం. నమామి భగవత్పాదం శంకరం లోకశంకరం. శంకరం శంకరాచార్యం కేశవం బాలరాయణం. సూత్రభాష్యకృతౌ వందే భగవంతౌ పునః పునః. ఈశ్వరో గురురాత్మేతి మూర్తిభేద విభాగినే వ్యోమవద్వ్యాప్తదేహాయ దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః.
వేదో నిత్యమధీయతాం తదుదితం.
వేదో నిత్యమధీయతాం తదుదితం.
కర్మస్వనుష్ఠీయతాం.
కర్మస్వనుష్ఠీయతాం.
తేనే శస్య విధీయతామపచితిః.
తేనే శస్య విధీయతామపచితిః.
కామ్యే మతిస్త్యజ్యతాం.
కామ్యే మతిస్త్యజ్యతాం.
పాపోగః పరిధూయతాం భవసుఖే.
పాపోగః పరిధూయతాం భవసుఖే.
దోషోనుసంధీయతాం.
దోషోనుసంధీయతాం.
ఆత్మేచ్ఛా వ్యవసీయతాం నిజగృహాత్.
ఆత్మేచ్ఛా వ్యవసీయతాం నిజగృహాత్.
పూర్ణం వినిర్గమ్యతాం.
పూర్ణం వినిర్గమ్యతాం.
సత్సు విధీయతాం భగవతో.
సత్సు విధీయతాం భగవతో.
భక్తిర్దృఢాధీయతాం.
భక్తిర్దృఢాధీయతాం.
శాంత్యాదిః పరిచీయతాం దృఢతరం.
శాంత్యాదిః పరిచీయతాం దృఢతరం.
కర్మాశు సంత్యజ్యతాం.
కర్మాశు సంత్యజ్యతాం.
సద్విద్వానుపసృప్యతాం ప్రతిదినం.
సద్విద్వానుపసృప్యతాం ప్రతిదినం.
తత్పాదుకా సేవ్యతాం.
తత్పాదుకా సేవ్యతాం.
బ్రహ్మైకాక్షరమర్త్యతాం శృతిశిరో.
బ్రహ్మైకాక్షరమర్త్యతాం శృతిశిరో.
వాక్యం సమాకర్ణ్యతాం.
వాక్యం సమాకర్ణ్యతాం.
We have completed two stages of sadhana, especially study. Study of two stages of sadhana, to be precise. Karma yoga and upasana. By karma yoga, person has attained chitta shuddhi. By Upasana Yoga, which was referred to in Bhagavato, Bhaktir Dradadiyatam, and also Shantyadi Parichriyatam, we can see in both the sentences the reference of Upasana. Because Upasana helps us to attain Samadhi. So after talking about these two sadhanas, then renunciation of Karma and Upasana was talked about. Dradataram karmashu santyajyata. And then the sadhaka enters into the next stage, and that is the stage of shravanam, for which the sadhaka has to go to the teacher. And going to the teacher was referred to in the sentence sadvidvan upasrupyata. A wise person who is a good teacher, who is good, should be approached. Or the right teacher should be approached. Sadvidvan upasrupyata. Then tat paduka pratidinam sevyata. His paduka, his sandals, should be served
every day.
And that is suggestive of Guru Shushrusha. In Shastra we have got the word Guru Shushrusha. Shushrusha has got two meanings, Shrotumicha Shushrusha or Seva is Shushrusha. So here it is in the sense of Seva, serving the teacher. And yesterday we were seeing what is the significance of serving the teacher. One is that Guru also gets the opportunity to see whether Shishya or the person who has come is fit to be taught or not. Because if he is not fit and if he is taught, it may not help the person. Perhaps sometimes it can harm the person. And therefore, perhaps teacher can suggest some other preparatory means before giving him or her teaching of Vedanta. Therefore, it is an observation period. So, Shushrusha provides an observation period for the teacher. So that teacher can help where the student requires the help. Isn't it? The doctor should help the patient the way patient is served. Not that doctor is expert in one particular surgery and therefore whoever comes he gives surgery. That's not correct. If surgery is required, then surgery should be given. Not that he is expert, whoever comes operate the person. That is not the right thing. Therefore observation. It is not judgment. It is helping the person where he requires the help. The second thing we have seen that because of this Guru Shushrusha, the student, the prospective student, gets the opportunity to dilute his ego, ahankara. Why should I serve anybody? That will be diluted. And ego dilution is very much required for the pursuit of Vedanta. Because if person has ego that I am someone, then his listening will not be proper. His receptivity will not be sufficient. I know something, I am something. How can he tell me like this? And therefore, this ego dilution is very much required. Not humiliation. It is not that Shishya is to be humiliated. In Zen system they do that also. The student is humiliated so much when he goes for days together, nobody talks to him. And he is asked to stay under some staircase or somewhere. So much. That is another way. We don't go to that extreme. It is not perhaps healthy. But at least I can keep this arrogance, the prestige consciousness, image consciousness aside. That much is required. And for that, Seva provides the opportunity. The third requirement we have seen is Seva helps the student to develop the rapport with the teacher. Of course, it happens in a small setup. Big setup also, to some extent, it can happen. The fourth one, which I was talking and I got a little bit emotional about it, and that is, you get the opportunity to imbibe the qualities of the teacher. When you observe him or her, then how he or she is interacting, how the vision of Vedanta is reflected in one's expression, one's response, that you can see. You can see live Vedanta. Live Shastra. And that has got so much impact. So that is one more benefit of Guru Seva. Two, three more are there. One more is Guru Seva provides the opportunity to reduce our raga dveshas. Because when I am serving the teacher, I have to do what Guruji likes. Suppose I am cooking for Guruji, I should not cook what I like. I have to cook what Guruji likes. Guru is from North India suppose, and he likes North Indian dishes. So I am South Indian, so but I serve what he or she likes. No, Guruji, this vegetable is very good. In South India, every house this will be there. You have it. That is not the approach of a Shishya. We serve what Guru likes. And in the process, what happens? My likes and dislikes are kept aside. Because I go by what Guruji would appreciate, Guruji would like it. Even though he may not be particular, if I give him South Indian also, he will eat. But as a student, my feeling would be, I would like to give him or her what he or she likes. So my likes and dislikes will be kept aside. I like to perhaps get up at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, but Guruji gets up at 5 o'clock. And there is a rule that Shishya has to get up before Guruji gets up and Shishya has to sleep after Guruji sleeps. That is the rule. Not that Guruji has to wake me up. So Shishya, where are you? Some Shishyas are like that also. That Guruji also has to come and say, where are you? Say, tea is ready for you. Hot water is ready for you. Get up. Lucky are those. But generally, as a student, there's a rule, that's a convention, that Shishya sleeps after Guru sleeps, Shishya gets up before Guruji gets up. So my likes and dislikes are kept aside. And without our much effort, because of my devotion for my Guru, my likes and dislikes become so weak. Earlier I may be so particular about certain things, but when I am serving the teacher, all those things are kept aside. Thus, Guru Seva helps me to develop this mastery over Raga Dvesha, weakening the Raga Dvesha. All those things are either to be practiced and seen. However much you theorize, but unless you go through that experience, you will never know how it happens. All right. One more significance of Guru Shushrusha is that for Vedanta Shravanam, Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti is required and reduction of Papam is required. And Shishya must have prepared oneself by Karma Yoga and Upasana so that he or she is with Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti and reduction of Papam. But sometimes there may be some deficiency in that. In some places, in Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, some lacuna is there. In Durita Nivritti, Papa Nivritti also, some lacuna is there. All those lacuna can be made up by Guru Seva. So whatever is deficient in Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti can be made up if Guru Seva is done with proper attitude. So because now onwards, afterwards he is going to start Shravanam, and therefore the Guru Seva provides the opportunity to make up for any deficiency in this preparedness. And this Guru Seva is such a thing that it works both ways. It will help me to develop devotion, and it can provide me the opportunity to express my devotion. Both ways. I have devotion, I have gratitude, I want to express it. Seva provides that. And suppose I don't have or I have very little devotion, then Seva provides the opportunity to have Guru Bhakti, the devotion to the teacher. That way, Guru Seva is very significant. Having said this, it is significant. Let me clarify a few other points. That Guru Seva is not meant for the exploitation of the student. And it is primarily meant for the benefit of the student. And therefore, this Guru Seva concept is not for benefiting the teacher primarily. And therefore, if some teacher is insisting that, no, no, you have to serve me, if you don't serve him, he feels very bad, he resents, you know, he is angry, then that is not a right teacher. Guru Seva is primarily meant for the benefit of the student, not for the benefit of the teacher. If the teacher wants to take benefit of the concept of Guru Seva, then he or she is not a right teacher. Means, this Guru Seva is to that type of Guru who doesn't require your Seva. Guru Seva is to be done to that type of Guru who is not waiting for your Seva, who can manage by himself, herself. It is not that he is waiting for some Shishya to come and do Seva. That is not a right teacher. So, Guru Seva concept is not meant for the benefit of the teacher, it is meant for the benefit of the student primarily. Guru may be served in the process, but Guru is not having any type of dependence upon the Seva. If Guru has to depend upon the Shishya for Seva, then he is not a teacher to be served. If he is served, is okay, he doesn't serve, okay. That type of mind he or she has, then he is the right teacher. If he gets angry, why did you serve me? You are my Shishya and not serving? Then he is not a teacher. Then there may be an exploitation. And Seva is not meant for exploitation. Another thing is, that even a student is doing Seva, he should never go too much beyond his limit. Suppose your capacity is to serve the teacher or the institute of the teacher for 1 hour, 1 hour, 1.5 hours. Maximum you can do for 2 hours. You can go maybe 5-10% more. But you have a capacity of 1 hour, 1.5 hours, and he is asking you to do for 5 hours every day, then you will have a lot of anger inside. And when you have anger inside, his upadesha will not work. Therefore, never go too much beyond your limit. Just do little bit stretch. As I told you, if your capacity is 1 hour, you can do 1 at 40. Because I have seen many people, initially they overstretch themselves and afterwards they blame the system. And they are deprived of the benefit of the system. Therefore, don't overstretch too much. Like you are doing exercise, stretching is required. Some discomfort will be there. That is called stretching pain. Stretching pain is good. If physiotherapist, they say it's good. But there should not be tearing. There should not be muscle tear. So similarly, in Seva also, you can have stretching pain. Means you can do 1 hour, little bit you can stretch. Do 1 and 40. But suppose a long time you have to stretch yourself too much, and then you have reaction, suppose. Why should I do this much? Why should I do this? Nobody is doing, I have to do it. Don't do with that attitude. It will not miss. Because you are doing with this feeling of exploitation, feeling of anger, feeling of helplessness, it will not miss. Because the act of service is not really benefit, is not giving so much benefit. Your attitude behind the act benefits you, blesses you. Act of course is required, because only attitude without the act will not benefit. But equally or more important is your readiness to serve. And suppose because of overdoing you don't have readiness to serve, then it will not miss. So therefore, don't overdo too much. Another thing is that with reference to Seva, what should be our approach? How we look upon this Seva? Seva to the Guru or the setup associated or setup around the Guru? How we look upon it? Initially, perhaps we look upon as reciprocation. He is teaching me, so I should give something, so I reciprocate. This is the beginning stage. Afterwards, I discover that Seva is the part of the entire process of growth. Like in ritual, as I told you, there are three parts: Vidhi, Shraddha and Dakshina. It means, if I don't give Dakshina to this the priest, I am the loser. Suppose priest said, no, I don't want, you are my friend. Then, very nicely, I could do this ritual without paying anything. No, it is not correct. If I don't give Dakshina to the priest, then I am the loser because my ritual is incomplete. That is why I know sometimes when I go for Bhiksha, means for food to somebody's house, and since I don't take Guru Dakshina on other days, they feel very bad. Because they say it is a part of it. In Punjab they say, Swamiji, after giving you food, we have to give you some money. Why? Bole ki aapka daat gis gaya na. There's an abrasion of your teeth, so for that for making up the abrasion of the teeth, you have to give some money. That's it, we'll like to do. So it is a part of it. So it is not that, suppose Guru wants this seva, I will do it, but if he doesn't want, why should I ask it? No. It is my duty to ask the teacher, what can I do? Why? Because it's a part of the process. If this doesn't happen, the entire process remains incomplete. So initially I may look upon as reciprocation, later on I see the seva as a part of the entire process of growth. Third vision, third attitude, the further evolved attitude is, I have so much gratitude that when I am given the opportunity to serve, I feel privileged. Whether it is a part of the process, I have already done, but I want to do it. Why? Because I feel so much gratitude and I am not allowed to express, I feel miserable. I would like to express. Thus, as person grows in his pursuit, his her pursuit, his attitude towards seva changes. But any vidya, especially Brahma vidya, has to be received with seva. In Shastra there is a beautiful shloka which says that vidya can be achieved by three means: Guru Shushrushaya vidya, Pushkalena dhanenava, vidyaya chathava vidya, chaturthi neva vidya. Means what? Vidya, here it is not Brahma vidya only, vidya in general. Any discipline of knowledge, whether it is Sanskrit or whether it is physics, chemistry, anything, three ways are there. One is what? Shushrusha, seva. Second option is Pushkalena dhanenava. Lot of money. Not like, some 100 rupees I gave and come, no. Lot of money. And third is, you have given, received vidya, you teach some vidya to the teacher. You have received some vidya. And the teacher wants to learn something from you. He is old timer, he wants to learn computer from you. So you teach him computer and you learn Sanskrit from compass. But in case of Brahma Vidya, other two options are not available. Why? Guru doesn't want your money. Most of the gurus don't want it. And he doesn't want any vidya from you because he is not interested in whatever you know. So only option left with is seva. Three ways are there, two are ruled out. And in Brahma Vidya, Swamiji, I like to be Pushkala and Dhanena. Then Pushkala Dhana in case of Brahma Vidya is whatever wealth you have to give. Because Pushkala, you are attaining the Vidya of limitless and therefore Sarvasva Tyaga, and nobody will be ready to give everything. Unless he doesn't have anything. Then he says, I'll give everything you take. But generally it won't happen. And therefore, in case of Brahma Vidya, this alone remains. And therefore, Tatpaduka Svetyatam. Okay. Next one is
ब्रह्मैकाक्षरमध्य।
इन तत्पादों का कृत्यता वन एस्पेक्ट ऑफ गुरु भक्ति वॉज मेंशन सेवा, बट देर आर अदर टू पार्ट्स ऑल्सो विच आई हैव टू कवर एंड दे आर प्रफ्व प्रश्रय। इन विवेक चुड़ामणि इट कम्स प्रफ्व प्रश्रय सेवने। My interaction with Guru should have these three elements: prafva, prashraya, and seva. Prafva means namaskara, salutation. There is a convention that whenever we meet the teacher, we do namaskara. Here it is sometimes impractical, therefore on the road and all, you may not like to do it. But generally when we go and meet the teacher, we do namaskara, we get up, we do namaskara. And suppose when we are staying in the same setup, evening they do namaskara. And I tell you, if you can do namaskara to a teacher, it is a big privilege. Because we want to have an altar where we can surrender, where we can dilute our ego, and the teacher provides us that. And therefore, we need not be stingy about doing namaskara. Then here let me clarify one point, because I have been telling that we should do namaskara without expecting the receipt part. So somebody asked me yesterday. Somebody, we have been told that we should do namaskara only when the person is looking at us, and he should know that we are doing namaskara. This is how they have been taught. It is okay, it is right. But if possible, we go in front of the teacher and do namaskara, we receive his blessings. That is preferable thing, yes. But suppose it happened that teacher is already living, and then okay, teacher says, stop, I want to do namaskara. That we don't do it. Even from the backside or the side where he is not seeing us, we do namaskara. We don't have the insistence of getting the receipt. That is what I meant. Not that you should not go and do namaskara in front. That is not the idea. If teacher is available, sitting, go and do the namaskara in front of him. If he is standing and all are doing, so do a namaskara in front of him or her. That's not an issue. It is not that you should not get the receipt, but don't have that insistence that if he is not looking at us, why should we do namaskara? That should not be there. That was the idea for that. It is not that we should not do in front of. No, Swami will think that, oh, we are doing namaskara in front, so he thinks that we are one receipt. I will not think all these things. You need not have that thinking. Even Swamiji, Puja Swamiji, we do namaskara in front of him, available to it. But suppose he is going, we don't have to stop it. We do namaskara even from the side. That's the idea. And namaskara is of two types. One is called Ashtanga Namaskara, other is called Panchanga Namaskara. Ashtanga Namaskara means the salutation or prostration involving eight parts of the body, eight parts of our body mind complex. Not only body. What are they? Purasa, Shirasa, Drishtya, Vachasa, Manasa, Tatha, Padhyam, Karabhyam, Janubhyam, Pranamo, Shtanga. Eight parts. It is a Dandavat Pranam, generally done by men. Because of this physical features, generally men do this eight Ashtanga Namaskara. Falling flat. Where? Purasa, the chest. Shirasa, the head. Drishtya, the eyes are also doubt. Vachasa, speech. Namaskaro me, I am doing Namaskara. Manasa, the mind is involved. It's very important that not that mind is somewhere else, mind also should be involved. Padhyam, feet. Karabhyam, hands. Janubhyam, the thighs. These eight parts involve, and that namaskara is called Ashtanga Namaskara. Urasa, chest, Shirasa, head, Vrashya, the eyes, Vachasa, speech, Manasa, the mind, Padyam, feet, Karabhyam, hands, Janubhyam, thighs. These are called Ashtanga Namaskara. And for ladies, for women, to five angas are there. This is called Panchanga Namaskara. Bahubhyam, Cheva Janubhyam, Shirasa, Vachasa, Drisha. Bahubhyam is arms are involved. Janu, this is knee joints are involved. Shirasa, head is involved. Vakshasa, this is two shoulders. Vakshasa is chest, but here shoulders involved. Drisha, drishti, sight. So these are five angas. This namaskara is called Panchanga Namaskara. And this namaskara is also one part of the expression of Guru Bhakti. As I told you, three parts are there. Namaskara, Prapva. Second is called Prashraya, humility in expression. While talking to the teacher, we need to be as humble as possible. And this can be learned by observation. And also, if teacher is generous enough, he may tell, or she may tell. There are certain things we should avoid. In fact, more things we have to learn what is to be avoided. As I told you, we don't call Hi Swami. And we meet, we don't tell Swami, how are you Swamiji? That's not the way we greet Swamiji. Yeah, if Swamiji is unwell, and you know that he was unwell, how is Swamiji doing now? That perhaps is a situational requirement. But the way we say, hello, how are you? That is not the way we greet the teacher. So much humility is. Of course, we learn, and especially, you know, again, we are not used to that type of setup, there may be some reaction also. Why should we do this? So, humility, as humble as possible. And we don't write the name of Swamiji, like yesterday somebody asked, Swami Dayananda says like this. I did not read like this. When he says Swami Dayananda, I said Puja Swamiji says. We avoid that. As far as possible, we don't write the name very casually. So as far as sometimes it is required, we do write. Yes, Swami Dayananda was talking like this. We don't say like this. As far as possible, we use word which doesn't involve referring him casually. So, as humble as possible. And this is not for Guru's sake. Okay? Oh, we say like this and Guru will feel bad. He will be hurt. He is very egoistic. He is very proud. If you conclude like this, you are the loser. It is for my benefit. I become humble so that I put him on higher pedestals so that I will have more impact of his or her statements. I have given you the example that water tank, if it is kept at higher level, then the pressure you get in your tap will be higher. If you have kept the water tank at almost equal level, water pressure will be very less. So I kept water tank at higher level not for water tank's sake. I do it for myself. It is very difficult to accept. But anyway, those who can accept, it is beneficial. So, prashraya. Somebody will say, this looks like a Talibanization. All this should be done, that should be done. But all these are suggestive. Okay? It is not that suppose you say, hi Swamiji, how are you? If you say, you are not going to feel bad or something. We may, once or twice we may tell. But afterwards we accept that, yeah, perhaps this person has got a habit and this is how he is comfortable. So afterwards we don't suggest. But if person adopts that, it will be for the benefit of the person himself. So if he don't like it, it is all right, it is understandable. No, sorry, all these rules and regulations, we don't like it. Just teach Vedanta. Don't talk about all this. Some people have that kind of thinking also. Pure Vedanta you talk. If you have come here for Vedanta course, yeah, we will do what we are supposed to. You can take whatever you want. You know, it's a buffet food, so you can take whatever you want. We have to give all the items. You choose whatever you want. And whenever you don't want, you can plug your ears. So, prava prashraya, humility, and sevahi. Prava prashraya sevanehi. So, with these three, when the grace of or the compassion of the teacher is invoked, so because of my humility, because of my seva, when the guru finds me to be a suitable student, then the next step comes is brahmaikakshara madhyata prasannam tamanu prapya tuchet jnatavya matmana. In Viveka Chudamani it comes prapva prashraya sevanehi. By these three things, when guru is very happy with the student, guru finds the student to be suitable, and he will say, What would you like to learn from me? That time, brahmaikakshara marjata. Brahma, all of you know, the truth is called Brahman, which is aksharam, imperishable. Ekam, ekam is non-dual one, free from any kind of division. So, divisionless, imperishable truth. Brahma eka akshara aksharam. Artyatam. Artyatam means should be asked for, should be sought. Means one should ask for Brahma, which is one, non-dual and imperishable. The idea conveyed is guru will teach only when you ask specific question, because there is a convention. Aprushtaha na bruyat, na aprushta kasya chit bruyat, na cha nyayena pruchata. That is a convention. That unless you are asked, you should not talk about it. Not only that, unless you are asked properly, you should not talk. Anyayena pruchataha. If you are not asked properly, then also you should not talk about it. Suppose somebody said, by chance, if you happen to know about Tattvabodha, and when are you free, and I am also free, we can meet sometime. If somebody says like this, I will say no. We'll talk about something else. We'll talk about cricket perhaps. We'll talk about some values, I'll say. Cricket may be too much shopping for it. Values. I must have told you that one person, when I was in Bangalore, one person came to the ashram and he said, Swamiji, I given my scooter for repair. And that fellow said, you take after half an hour. I have half an hour, so let us talk something Vedanta. So he doesn't want to go home, and ashram is close by to the shop. So he says, Swamiji, I have about half an hour. I have given my scooter for repair, so let us talk. I will not like to talk about that. So he is asking also. But still, anyayena pruchata. He doesn't have really tatpuryam in that. Tatpuryam means commitment is not there for that. He wants to spend time. And it is good to spend time with Swamiji, and you know, he can talk about Vedanta. Because otherwise Swami said, what for you have come? Perhaps. And I have to go. And therefore, if he talks like this, Vedanta will not be taught. Some people say that I know it, Swamiji, but still I think if you can tell, it will be nice. If you have time, you can tell. I know it, Swamiji, I have already studied it. No, that also not. That is why, if you remember, in this application form we had asked, what is the purpose of studying Vedanta? Why you want to study Vedanta? Why do you want to come here? Why Ashravidya Gurukula? So we wanted people to be clear what they are in for, why they want to do what they are planning to do. Because we do not want somebody to be here who is not having commitment. Casual approach is not entertained. Because if one or two people have got casual approach, they will influence others also. But they have nothing to do. And therefore every time they will be finding the opportunity to make conversation. It will disturb others. So we were very particular about it. That unless you want, surely want, then only you come from that. People may think, in fact, some people, as I told you, some people did not like this type of form. One person he just perhaps threw away the form. He said, who are these people to evaluate me? And afterwards he came around and filled up the form. Why it was asked? Because you should be clear, you should have some sincerity, seriousness about what you are doing. Casual approach is not entertained in long-term Vedanta course. And therefore, when Guru finds at first Shishya is really fit, then he will give the permission. And then, Brahma Eka Aksharam Arthyatam should be soft. Non-dual, imperishable Brahma should be asked for. And when it is asked for, then only teacher is. The rule is, as I told you, na prushtaha kashyachit bhuyat nacha nyayena prushtaha. And once it is asked by the student, and the teacher finds the students to be sincere, then teacher will start the teaching. That is what is said in the next line. Shruti Shiro Shruti Shiro Vakyam Samakarnyata. Shruti Shiraha. Three words are there. Shruti Shiraha Vakyam. Vakyam means sentence. Shiraha means the head. Shruti means Veda. The sentence of the head of Vedanta. Head of Vedas. The head of Vedas is another name for Vedanta. Vedanta is called the head of Shruti. Why? If Shruti is a body, then the main part, head is considered to be the main part. Therefore, the main person in the department, we call him head. So head means the main part. And in the entire body of Vedas, Vedanta is the main part, and therefore it is called Shruti Shiraha. So Shruti Shiraha means the main portion of Veda. Shruti means Veda. Veda is called Shruti because it is preserved through the years. Karna Parampara. So Veda, which is otherwise called Shruti, and the main portion of this Shruti or Veda is Vedantaha, therefore Vedanta is called Shruti Shiraha. Vakya means sentence. The sentence of Vedanta Samakarnyatam. Karnyatam means should be listened to. The sentence of Vedanta should be listened to. Karnyata. But two prefixes are added. Sam and A. Sam A Karnyata. Sam means samyak, very well. The sentence of Vedanta should be listened to very well. And means asamanta, completely. So the sentence of Vedanta should be listened to very well and completely. That is the meaning of samakarnyata. Sam means very well, a means completely, karnyata means should be listened to. The sentence of Vedanta should be listened to very well and completely. What is the meaning of very well? Very well means with shraddha, with proper attitude. As we have seen earlier, Vedanta is not another book, another type of book by like we have got physics, chemistry, similarly we have got another book called Vedanta. We have seen the difference between Veda and other type of books. In the Vedo, Nityam and Dhyatam itself we have seen. Other books like physics books, chemistry book, etc., they are the secondary source of knowledge. Why? Because they are based on perception, based on the analysis of sensory data. Therefore, perception is the main pramanam and this physics book is the secondary source. What has been observed by the sense organs, that has been presented here in the book. So the primary source is the sensory data. And of course analysis, anumanam, etc. Whereas in Vedanta, it is not that something has been seen by somebody and those experiences are written in Vedanta or Vedas. It is not like that. Vedanta, which is a part of Veda, is a means, an independent means of knowledge like your eyes and ears. Eyes are not based on any other means of knowledge. Eyes themselves are the means of knowledge. Eyes are not based on anything else. Ears are not based on anything else. They themselves are independent means of knowledge. Similarly, these Vedas are independent means of knowledge, like your eyes and ears. So with this attitude of Shraddha, with Pramanya Buddhi, one should listen to Vedanta. And that is what is indicated by the word Sam, very well. And also Sam has got another meaning, keeping your prejudices aside. Whatever you listen to, whatever you have read elsewhere, from so many philosophers and all, for the time being you keep aside. We don't say that you don't read or you dismiss them. But when you are listening to Vedanta, keep all those things aside. Otherwise what will happen? When anything is being said, we said, but JK says like this. But the Osho says like this. And in the Yoga Shastra it says like this. And so whatever is being said here, you will not be able to listen to carefully. Therefore, whatever you listen to, during listening, you keep aside. This is Sam, very well, keeping all your prejudices aside, and with Pramanya Buddhi, with Shraddha, listen to the sentences of Vedanta. And means completely. Completely means till you get the vision of Vedanta. Till your ignorance of the vision of Vedanta goes away, you listen. People ask, how long I have to listen to Vedanta? 3 months or 3 years? Neither 3 months nor 3 years. Until your ignorance goes away, you have to listen. It can be 3 months, it can be 6 months, it can be 3 years, it can be 30 years. Until your ignorance goes, you have to listen to, and that is said by A is completely. And let us now understand that here the process of or the stage of Shravanam is described. Let there be Vedanta Shravanam. technically Vedanta Shravana means the process of analysis of the sentences of Vedanta to arrive at the tatparyam, the purport of Vedanta. The process of arriving at the tatparyam, the purport of Vedanta, that is called Vedanta Shravana. So how long you have to have Shravanam? Till you understand the tatparyam of Vedanta completely. That all the Vedanta Vakyas finally want to say this. When you have understood it very well, without any doubt, then your Shravanam is complete. Shravanam, simple definition is what? Consistent and systematic listening or the study of the scripture from a competent teacher. That is a functional definition of Shravana. Means you listen to Vedanta from a competent teacher, from Sampradayavid, and it should be systematic. Not that you start with Brahma Sutra and then you start this Viveka Chudamani, then Bhagavad Gita, and then start end up with Tattva Buddha. That is why in the course we have a particular order. What should be taught when? Which is Swamiji has designed the course. Several courses he has done and he follows certain order. It is called systematic study. And it should be done consistently. That is why we have an almost everyday class. And you can see the difference. When you have everyday class, it has got so much impact. Suppose you have once a week class, and you may be listening for 10 years, but impact will not be that much. If same number of classes you have continuously, it will have so much impact. Therefore, it should be consistent. Systematic and consistent study of scripture. Technical definition of that is for Shravana. A technical definition is the process of analysis for arriving at the purport of Shastra, the tatparyam of Vedanta, that is called Shravana. And here, the Shravana is talked about, Shruti Shiro Vakyam Samakarnita. And what are the topics covered in Vedanta? Almost the same topics which we have seen in Tattva. That is why, if you remember, while concluding the Tattva Bodha, I said all the main topics of Vedanta are covered in Tattva Bodha. Vedanta also initially talks about sadhana chatushtaya sampratti, pariksha lokan, karma chitan, talks about vairagya, shanto, danto, parapasthitikshu, bhutva, talks about the shamadhi shatka sampratti. So in Vedanta means Upanishads also, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti topic is talked about. The second topic is what? Tvam padartha vichara. And as we have seen in Tattva Bodha, tvam padartha vichara has got two aspects. One is tvam padartha vichara means jiva swarupa vichara. And jiva swarupa vichara has got two aspects. One is the description of jiva based on upadhi. When there is identification with upadhi, what will be the description of jiva? What will be the expression of jiva? What will be the state of jiva? That is described in Shastra, where it is said that jiva is being born from one and it travels from one body to the other. Yoni manye prapadyante shariratvaya dehina katopanishad. So jiva is traveling. Jiva is feeling helpless. Anishaya shochati mukhyamana. I'm just giving you samples of Upanishad to tell you that how the topics are covered. Is jiva's swarup, jiva's state based on upadhi. When jiva is identified with upadhi, what is his state? That is described in Vedanta. जीवा इज फीलिंग कर्ता भोक्ता, जीवा इज फीलिंग हेल्पलेस लिमिटेड एंड कलेक्टिंग पुण्य पापा एंड ट्रैवलिंग फ्रॉम वन बॉडी टू द अदर. दिस इज द डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ जीवा बेस्ड ऑन उपाधि. And then we have got the description of jiva from the standpoint of his swarupa. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin na yam bhutva bhavita va na bhuyah. Based on his swarupa. That is another description given in Vedanta. Jiva's description based on upadhi, based on swarupa. Similarly, Ishvara's description is given. The third topic is Ishvara's description based on upadhi. Yato va imani bhutani jayate. What is Brahma? Brahma is that from which the world is born, sustained and merged back into. Sarvajnaha sarvavit. Brahma is sarvajnaha, omniscient, general and specific. Sarvavit. So upadhi based description of Ishvara is. And swarupa based description also is given. Na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. Swarupa based description is given. Virajam brahma nishkalam. What is the nature of Brahman? That is given. So this is the third topic. And the fourth topic is aikyam between the two. Jiva is essentially consciousness. Ishvara is essentially consciousness. And therefore, both of them are one and the same. So this is the fourth topic. And finally, what is the result of this understanding? Brahmavid apnoti param tarati shokam atmavid. Means the knower of Brahman attains the highest. Knower of the self becomes free from the sorrow, from all types of sorrow. Thus, these topics, five topics are covered in Vedanta. And teacher will be teaching different Upanishads depending upon the capacity of Shishya, depending upon the situation prevailing that time. They will be teaching depending upon the requirement. If Shishya gets Brahma Jnanam in one Upanishad, alright, he will stop with that. If he requires one more Upanishad, we will teach one more Upanishad. So depending upon the requirement, this teacher will be teaching this Vedanta, where these five topics are covered. And that is what is said, Shruti Shiro Vakyam Samakarnita. Should be listened to. The sentences of Vedanta should be listened to. Then, after the student listens to this vakya, the sentences, he will have certain doubts. Based on the sentences of Vedanta themselves, and those doubts, means internal contradiction, is to be resolved, and that is said in the next sentence. Om Purnamada
Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो